Did you know there are rules around nursing during working hours?
It's the law.
But knowing you can is just step one. There's also the practical side, the time, the space, the potentially uncomfortable conversations. We talked to an expert about all of it. Here's what she had to say.
You're listening to The Work-Life Equation, the Bright Horizons podcast for busy working families. Whether you're a working mom, a dad, or you're busy caring for other family members, we've got tips for how to fit jobs and families together and for how to make your work-life equation add up.
My initial concern is, am I allowed time off to pump?
That's Stephanie, a soon-to-be first-time mom who plans to nurse when she comes back from leave. We presented that question to return-to-work consultant Karen Rubin.
It's a great question. There is something called the Fair Labor Standards Act, and it requires employers to provide new mothers with reasonable time within their first year after their baby's born to take breaks to pump during the workday. And they're also required to have a place outside of the restroom to do it, a private place. Employers aren't required to pay you for that time, but it's absolutely something within your rights.
Okay, so the second question she had, when and how do I discuss my plans to breastfeed with my manager?
I love this question, and the reason that I love it is because while it is true it's the law, you know, as you're telling us, as a practical matter, it can be pretty uncomfortable to discuss this stuff, can it?
Oh, absolutely. In your normal day-to-day work relationship, these are not things that you would typically talk about. Also, it depends on the situation. So if your manager is a woman who is also a mother who has been through this before, that's going to be a much easier conversation. But for some people, they're going to be broaching the topic maybe with a man who is not also a father, who's really unfamiliar. And it can feel uncomfortable. You're absolutely right. My advice is just to try to be as matter of fact as possible, letting them know this is what you can expect from me when I return from this leave. I will be taking breaks and be really specific. So maybe when you're coming back from that leave, you're going to be planning to pump 3 times a day during the workday. And you may even want to let them know about how much time it will take. And usually that's about a half an hour per session. For the average person, it's about 20 minutes to pump and then 10 minutes for everything else, getting the equipment, getting set up, washing things, putting things into a refrigerator. So all of that, start to finish, often takes about 30 minutes. So those are the kinds of things that you're going to want to talk to your manager about, let them know what to expect. You know, the other thing that's just sort of nice is to express your appreciation. So you're telling them that this is your plan, but it's just a nice thing to thank them for being supportive during this time.
So under the guise of, forgive me for going off on a tangent here, but I remember somebody telling me when I got to the point of giving the sex talk to my children that it was better if I did it in the car when I didn't have to look at them. So, you know, is it okay for if you have a male manager and you're totally uncomfortable discussing this stuff, is email appropriate?
Sure. You can absolutely let somebody know in writing. I think it's just, you know, getting the message across is the most important thing. Most managers will be like, oh, okay, thanks. Now I understand what to expect. And that's really what they want to know. What is this going to look like? What is the impact for me and for the team? So if you're more comfortable letting them know via email, go for it. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
And as a practical matter, what about if they're not receptive? And I'm not talking about getting to the point where you're bringing in attorneys, but if you don't get immediate buy-in by your manager, what kind of advice do you have for that?
It's always easier when you're not pioneering this whole endeavor. But if you're in a situation where you are the first one, or even just the first one on your team, then, you know, if you're not getting the support that you want, you can speak to somebody in HR about, here's what I'm facing. I'm really committed to pumping at work. Here's the situation. Is there anything you can do to be helpful? You can also see if you have an employee resource group of new parents. Find out within your company other people who maybe have faced a similar situation in the past. Learn from their experience, or maybe the ERG can influence HR, and with maybe that manager needs a conversation. Also, trying to talk to your manager about what is going on, you know, what is the pushback, and trying to come up with some sort of compromise about what is their concern.
Okay, so she had another question that was also very interesting because we're talking about how to have these very difficult and complicated conversations. Do you feel like you're oversharing? Do you need to tell them everything? There are complications that come along with it. How do you handle those things?
Knowing your audience. So how do you ask for these breaks? And ideally, what you're asking for is not just, am I able to take these breaks, but are you going to be supportive? If there are meetings where I'm needed, can we respect the holds that I have on my calendar? If you need me to travel, can I possibly get some help with Milk Stork or, you know, some of the other things that can make travel a little bit easier while you're pumping. The oversharing piece is, do they need to know the nitty-gritty about the physical aspect of it? No, they don't. But with that said, sometimes you do need to talk about if the lactation room is a bathroom, or if it's dirty, or there's no access to a refrigerator or running water. Those are conversations that you do want to have. And frankly, one of the most embarrassing things for everybody is, let's say you are fortunate enough to have an office and your company is putting up shades and retrofitting so that you can pump right in your office, but there wasn't a lock on the door and, you know, your boss has walked in on you. I mean, those are... then everybody's going to be unhappy. You're going to be mortified, or a lot of people are going to feel really uncomfortable and embarrassed. So it's better to talk upfront about what your needs are and what would be helpful to you during this time. And then the other thing to remind coworkers, managers, and even yourself is that this is a point in time. You're not going to be doing this forever. People are pumping in the workplace maybe up to 3 times until the baby's 6 months old. And then once a baby's 6 months, a lot of times they're starting to incorporate solids. And that's when a lot of women start pumping twice a day. And usually by the time the baby's a year old, people are pretty much done pumping in the office. So when you consider all the decades that you work and the amount of time that you're going to be pumping and taking these short breaks, it's pretty small in the scheme of things.
That's your advice, it sounds like, to deal with which another question we had, which is dealing with the guilt of taking the time off. You shouldn't feel guilty at all, it sounds like.
Yeah, and you know, and it's hard to completely manage those emotions. So you're coming back to work. A lot of times people are feeling guilty that they took this break, this longish break, and feeling like, oh, my coworkers had to double up on my behalf. I'm coming back and now I'm taking these breaks and maybe you're feeling guilty because you're away from your baby. You're feeling tired and guilty about all kinds of things. And I do recommend trying to take that 30,000 foot view and remember, this is a period of months. It's a point in time. You're doing what you think is the best thing for the health of your baby and yourself. And to just go for it and just do it for as long as you're able to, as long as you feel good about it. Guilt cuts both ways. If you decide for any reason that it's not working out, there's going to be a different guilt about, I feel guilty that I maybe hate pumping as much as I do. I feel guilty that I'm not going to give my baby access to this as for as long as I had planned to. And if you decide to cut it short, or you decide that the pumping at work is not effective for you, it's not making you happy, it's also okay to maybe cut it short, in my opinion.
That is great advice, because I think that is a dilemma that so many women face.
There's a really interesting book, and it's written by a woman named Emily Oster. She's an economist and a professor at Brown. And she talks about this very subject. You know, she's saying, hey, new parents, you're so lucky that you're blessed with this abundance of information and advice that's available, you know, at your fingertips on the internet. But the problem is it's often conflicting, and it can make choices for things like breastfeeding really confusing. And so she takes a look at all the data that's out there to try to disseminate, like, is this good information? Is this good data? So that you're not left feeling like if you make a choice that the outcome or the results are going to be disastrous for your baby. And as a mother of kids who are now 17, 18, and 21, I look back on a lot of those decisions and those emotions and the guilt and how weighted everything felt, and realize a lot of those things that I worried about didn't matter as much as I thought they would.
But it does lead us into a really interesting question about working and pumping, because we know that pumping is a mental as well as physical activity.
During the time that you are allocating in your workday to pump, do you work or do you have that be your personal time?
Should you be working while you're pumping? Should you be expected to? Should you expect yourself to?
Such a great question. And that comes up with my clients all of the time. And the answer is the super irritating, it depends. For some people, they work right through their pumping sessions. It is not a problem. They have a hands-free pump. They can do whatever they need to do. Their milk supply is not impacted, and mentally, they're completely fine with it. On the other side, I know lots of women who it doesn't work so easily for. And what I mean by that is they go in with the assumption, I'm going to work, and all of a sudden, like, they're not getting a letdown, or their milk supply is dwindling drastically. For anybody who hasn't started this whole process, just be aware that that does not work for everybody. You may be one of those people who needs to just be mindful and quiet in order to pump at work. It's one of the many, many things that are unpredictable when you have a baby. So imagine you've got a huge presentation for work and you've been working on it really hard. It's 1 a.m. You know you need to be up at 6 and you finally get to bed and you're like, okay, I need to go to sleep right now. I need to sleep. I'm going to be a wreck if I don't fall asleep right now. And the more you say, I need to sleep, the more your body just rebels and refuses to cooperate. And sometimes with nursing, it can be similar. Like, we can't always make our bodies do exactly what we want them to do.
That is for sure. And I know so many women have tried, and it's such a difficult thing and such a really important piece of advice. So basically, listen to your body. And if your body is saying that you need to not work during that period, do that.
And with that said, I also had a client who at first couldn't work. She couldn't do it. But then as the months wore on, she was able to take 3-4 minutes and sort of have some nice, calm, relaxing time. And then once things sort of spurred into action, she was able to take care of work during those pumping sessions. So see what works for you.
Okay. Well, that fits into the that depends that we started with. So I think that's perfect. Another question she had is,
considering the frequency of the need to pump, how do I manage that?
You talked a minute ago about the fact that in the beginning, you're pumping 3 times a day. And you want to keep your milk supply up, but how do you manage that when it feels like it's all the time all of a sudden?
It's just a decision that you have to make. Is this something that you are committed to doing? Some people go in with every intention of pumping 3 times a day, and then the reality of their job, maybe just they hate it so much, they decide that they're going to decrease that. And these are personal decisions. And again, there's not a right or wrong, but it's just, you may decide once you're actually living it that this is easy, no problem. Or you may say, you know what, I can see myself doing 2 a day. Or maybe, you know, within a month, you're down to 1 a day. For some people, they decide to decrease the frequency of pumping at work. And it's about managing your emotions during that time. I do believe that fed is best. And the needs of our babies, of course, I think anybody listening to this podcast, of course you love your baby. Of course you want to do everything possible. But there are times when you have to sort of weigh the needs of the whole family and the needs of yourself. Like, we can't always be the third class citizens in our lives. If you're feeling for any reason that this is not working for you, it's giving yourself permission to say, you know what, I'm going to change my pump schedule. Or I even know people who say, you know what, I'm going to work remotely more frequently so that I can be around my baby. You know, maybe the baby's at home with a nanny, so that I'm not dealing with this 5 days a week. You know, try to be compassionate to yourself and think about your needs. I think one of the best things we can do for our kids is to maintain our sanity and our happiness as well.
Now, we've talked about mom's personal feelings, but the other side, and this was another question.
If you're open enough, do you tell your coworkers, hey, I need to pump at 10 and 1 and 4, and unfortunately, can't really be flexible on those times?
How do you stick to your schedule, work with your coworkers, and how transparent should you be with your coworkers about that?
In certain situations, your coworkers will be very supportive. Maybe they've been through something or they just believe it's important for nursing mothers to have those breaks. That's the best case scenario, in which case you say thank you very much, and then you reciprocate whenever you can. If you're in a situation where your colleagues are making snarky remarks or rolling their eyes, or, oh my gosh, I was coaching someone whose colleague said to her, in all seriousness, it must be nice to get to take all those breaks throughout your day.
Oh my goodness.
She just was speechless. Like, are you kidding me? This does not feel like a wonderful break. This feels like something I'm committed to and something I'm doing, but it's really hard. So not everybody is going to understand it. And frankly, if you haven't been through it yourself, you might not understand what's involved. I think all you can do is be appreciative, let people know when you are available, how you are contributing and showing up, how dedicated you are. And maybe, you know, if you do need to leave a meeting or if you can't attend something, then just trying to remind them that you are there and what is it that you've missed? How can you demonstrate that you are continuing to add value?
You know, it's funny, though, I would imagine there's a flip side to this, which is when we talked about oversharing in what your coworkers need to know. If I have a meeting on my schedule, nobody's asking me what I'm doing during that 30 minutes that I have blocked off. So is there some strategy in simply blocking off the time and just unapologetically doing it without saying what you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. And so if you have access to your calendar before you come back, it's great to block off your time even before you re-enter after that leave. I tell my clients, just put busy. So at, say, 10 a.m., 12:30, and 3, you just have 3 blocks of busy. And ideally, you already know the standing meetings that you need to attend, and you're working around that. But if you have just busy, you're less likely to be called into meetings that you can't attend. Sometimes there's going to be something important, and you're going to make a decision that, yes, I'm going to pump at a different time because it's so important that I attend this. But if you're constantly changing that schedule, you're sort of training others that it's okay, that it's not really a priority for you. And I will also say you have to be very careful. You know, if you're completely skipping your nursing sessions, you may develop an infection called mastitis. That's just another whole can of worms to deal with. It's painful. It's difficult. I think the best thing you can do is just, as you said, just be unapologetic. This is what I'm doing. Sometimes what will happen is, say you're in a full day meeting and you know you're going to need to take these pumping breaks. You know, sometimes having a strategy like knowing maybe who's the admin who's involved with planning this and speaking to them and say, hey, I'm a nursing mom. Can we try to coordinate breaks for this all-day meeting? Or can I know in advance when those breaks are? Or I had another client who made sure that she was sharing that she was pumping and taking these breaks with some admin assistants so that, again, they could try to be helpful to her and not put her into like a difficult, having to make a difficult choice.
I have another really interesting question, because now we've established that a new mom could potentially be pumping 3 times a day. What about lunchtime?
They say how important it is to have a nutritious diet when you return, right? You have to have extra calories in your diet. So between pumping, hydrating with water, and eating a nutritious diet, how do you manage all that, right? You can't use your lunchtime to pump because you're also supposed to be eating.
On one hand, it seems to make sense to pump during lunch, which is technically free time, but mom needs to eat too, no?
Oh yeah. And when you're breastfeeding, like, you're going to be just so hungry. It takes a lot of calories to do all of this. You need to make sure that you're eating, and you're going to need to be drinking a lot of water. I always advise people to go back to work with a drawer full of snacks or a backpack full of snacks, because you're going to need to keep eating in order to keep your milk supply up. Often people will combine their lunch break and a pumping session, and they'll do it all within that period of time.
Okay, so, but you shouldn't feel compelled to use your few minutes of free time exclusively for nursing.
No, you have to be eating. All of this is going to fall apart if you're not eating and drinking. And I was speaking to someone who was saying, like, she came back to work, and around that time, she said, wow, I really would like to lose some weight to try to get back into my work clothes. And she started eating less. And then she found that she was having a real problem maintaining her milk supply. You know, you have to take care of yourself. You need to continue to eat for all of this to work.
Another question is, you know, in this day and age, a lot of working moms are on the road, and you alluded to this a little while ago.
That's the other thing I need to, I think, set expectations for ahead of time. I think going back to work and also traveling may be a huge obstacle.
If you do have a job that requires a considerable amount of travel and you're committed to keeping up with that, what kind of advice do you have for that?
So much. When my clients start traveling, often the conversations about the logistics related to pumping while they're traveling, sometimes are spending even more time planning for that than planning for the actual work and the meetings. So a couple different just tips around that. Number one, if at all possible, ask if your company will allow you to utilize a service like MilkStork. That is a service where they send a package to, say, the hotel where you're staying. You take the milk that you've pumped, it goes into this box with this self-activated freezing system, and then they overnight it to wherever you need it to go. So let's assume you're staying at a hotel and then they're shipping it overnight to your home. And that way, you don't have to deal with transporting breast milk on a plane. So I know a lot of women who love this service. One of the best things you can check on is, will your company support this? Because it is pricey, but it reduces a lot of headaches. Another way around that is to talk to the hotel in advance, find out if you can get a refrigerator with a freezer in your room, and then after you've pumped, freeze the milk. If that's not possible, sometimes hotels, you can give the milk to them and they will freeze it in a freezer that they have. One of my clients said that she's been very successful doing a little intel work in advance and talking to people, a general manager, or looking for somebody who seems friendly at the front desk who might be able to accommodate this. And then once you have that milk frozen, you'll probably want to travel with some sort of cooler. She swears by her Yeti cooler. There's all different kinds of coolers, but you want to have something that will maintain that frozen milk so that you can get it through security. So if it's frozen, you can get it through TSA and will keep it cold and frozen long enough for you to be able to fly home.
Wow, this is logistical as well as emotional and so many things to think about.
And you're traveling to another office. You have to find out, you know, in that office, is there a pump room, a lactation room? What is the facility? How do you get onto the schedule? So there are lots and lots of logistics. One other product and service that's helpful is called Mamava, M-A-M-A-V-A. So mamava.com. And you may have seen, if you've been in an airport recently, there are those pods where nursing mothers can go. And they're in airports. They're also in like lots of other places. So if you download the app, you can find out if there is not only one of these Mamava suites, but sometimes they'll just say, does this venue have a clean and private place for a nursing mother to go? Anybody who is traveling and pumping, it is a labor of love. You are doing it obviously because you believe that this is the very best thing for your baby, but I won't say it's easy, but I know that people do it.
Don't forget, it may seem overwhelming at first, but before you know it, you'll have it down to a routine and all the pieces will fall into place.
If you like what you heard today, get more of our podcast by subscribing. While you're downloading, let us know what you thought or give us a share. Thanks to everyone for being here. We look forward to seeing you next time as we help make the work-life equation add up.